Kids, how many days till Christmas?
Two.
Basically, not even two, technically. Part of today, tomorrow, midnight tomorrow night, it is?
Christmas.
And speaking of Christmas, when you reflect back on Christmas gifts, what is the favorite Christmas gift you've ever gotten?
Jesus Christ.
You see, somebody was going to say that. Yes, Jesus Christ is. But I want you to think of something else. It's like, what's your favorite moment, right? If you don't say your marriage to your wife, you know you're in trouble, right?
Partridge Family Record.
The favorite Christmas gift.
Yeah, because it was all my mother could afford.
There you go.
After she left my dad. My dad had given us like hundreds of gifts, and she only could afford one thing. And it was that one. And that's the one I still remember. I don't remember all the ones that he gave me.
Anybody else? Favorite Christmas gift you've ever gotten? Can you think of something, Anthony?
My dog.
Your dog? That's an awesome Christmas gift.
I know. My hamster.
Your hamster. That's a pretty awesome Christmas gift.
Cool.
What?
Fountain pen.
A fountain pick for your teeth?
Fountain pen.
Oh, fountain pen. I'm sorry. Fountain pen. Those are nice.
Not a ballpoint.
Kids, do you know how what a fountain pen is?
It's a few years back.
Well, you can still get them now, and they're actually, you can spend a lot of money on them now, but in the olden days, you used to have to dip your pen into ink, and then fountain pens got a little slicker, where you could have a chamber and you could suck the ink into it, and now you can just buy the chambers. But yeah, fountain pens are really nice. Anybody else?
Yes.
Oh, it's like a Leatherman type, a multi-tool, yeah. Although I don't think it was for Christmas, was it? It was for birthday? You got me one that.
It was either Father's Day or birthday. I got you one engraved.
Now for me, when I was growing up, there was a period of time that everything I wanted had to do with G.I. Joe. You don't do that, Cisco?
No, not G.I. Joe. It's
what?
He probably doesn't even
know. Yeah.
But the two that stand out to me, this wasn't intentional, but they're both albums. Back when I was a teenager, my brother Eric got me Double Vision by Foreigner. You see, you know that. You can see that's, you guys are too young still. And then my dad one time got me an album called Days of Innocence by a group called Moving Pictures. Anybody familiar with that? They did the song, What About Me? What about me? It isn't fair. I've done my part. Now I want my share. No, nobody ever, well, okay, fine. But, now, One could argue I've gotten greater Christmas gifts. I'm sure if I actually could remember, you've probably given me better stuff than that. But kind of like you, they were meaningful. What makes a great Christmas gift great, if you think about it?
The heart behind it,
right? The fact that it shows that somebody thought. Now, the moving pictures from my dad, probably it was my brother actually telling him what I would like. But the fact is that it was neat. It was something that meant something to me. Augie? You think so? Wow. That's really building up.
That's a challenge.
Okay. Well, we start out with Christmas gifts we like. Let's talk about the other end of the spectrum when it comes to Christmas gifts. Has anyone ever been part of a Yankee swap? You have?
A Yankee
swap.
They might have a different name for it here. It's when you, everybody brings in an anonymous gift.
Numbers.
Oh, white elephant.
White elephant, yeah.
They did that in New England, they call it a Yankee swap. And then you can steal other people's gifts.
I hate them. I hate Yankee swaps. Exactly. Somebody looks, and you gotta admit, nothing says Christmas cheer like taking a better gift from somebody else, huh? grumble. Let's go ahead and expand the question of the greatest gift beyond just Christmas. What would it be? Don't anybody speak up. You probably know the punchline, but let's work. I mean, it's only four pages. Give the preacher a little time to work it out here. But let's see if we can figure out what the greatest gift ever given to us by God is. We're going to start. It might all be all the way back into Genesis. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 26 through 28. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28. 26. I mean, sorry, Genesis 1, 26 through 28. We'll look at a couple things and say, can we figure out what the greatest gift is? Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Is everybody there? Almost, okay. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You do. You're right. Okay. So what gift are those verses discussing?
Life.
Children's in there. Good point. Wasn't what I was thinking, but that is true. Life. 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 We got dominion. That seems like a gift sometimes. Until the dog gets up in the middle of the night and you got to go downstairs, right? But the fact is the one that jumped out to me from those verses is life. That is a gift, right? Could life be the greatest gift for each of us?
Yes.
Well, if you think about it, if you didn't have life, you couldn't appreciate any other gift, could you? If you didn't have life, you couldn't appreciate any other gift. So maybe that is the greatest gift ever.
Second.
Well, dude, you see, you're going to go to the punchline. Don't go to the punchline yet. Don't go to the punchline. But I bet you by the time we get to the end, you and I are going to agree.
If you couldn't get the first verse, you couldn't get the second verse, which is more important.
Well, I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to argue. We're going to let this flow and we'll see if we agree. How's that sound? Okay, but let's not stop there. Let's go ahead and look at other gifts that God gives us. What other gifts does God give us? And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. Excuse me.
What was it? What are the verses?
Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 33. 25 through 33. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, that gift from God, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Question, what shall we eat?
We'll decide after, although I think you probably can predict it. How many people here have ample food? Get plenty to eat? I'm not talking about whether you're hungry right now or if you didn't get enough of those awesome Christmas cookies. Okay, how many people here have plenty of clothes? You look in the closet, you got plenty of clothes. Now, I didn't mention it, but how many people here have a roof over their heads and not just in church? And myriad other blessings from God. Myriad gifts from God. No question. We all do. We're abundantly blessed. You might argue, we're ridiculously blessed. We have so much more than we actually need. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from, do you remember? God, right, above. It's from above. So when you think about those myriad gifts, they're from God. But as great as all of those things we've talked about are, do you really think that they're the greatest gift that we've ever gotten? I mean, sometimes Michelle makes some pretty awesome stuff. But nothing you've provided me, thanks to God, is the greatest gift ever. It's probably not, because, getting to what you were talking about, it is likely that the greatest gift ever is not a physical thing. Does that make sense? It is likely that the greatest gift ever is not a physical thing, not even an iPhone, XR, or XS Plus, or iPad Pro.
Or Samsung Galaxy Note 9.
So switching to the spiritual side, how about this verse? It's one of my favorites, maybe one of yours. I've brought it up several times. And bless you, bless you, bless you to whoever was sneezing. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. Maybe this is the greatest gift. 1 John 1:9. Are you there? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness. Now that is something that might qualify as the greatest gift ever. Forgiveness. Think of all the tortured souls out there. Sadly, there are not enough tortured souls over sin and stuff, but think of all the tortured souls out there who would finally find relief if they realized that gift, the gift of forgiveness, existed and were willing to accept it. Willing to let God forgive them and to forgive themselves. Yet as incredible as the gift of forgiveness is, I don't think that that is the greatest gift for everybody or anybody.
What is the greatest gift is life.
Well, I think life is great, but I don't think it's the greatest gift. Tell you what, let's look at one more Bible reference, because part of my gift today to you is to keep the sermon short. John 3:16-17. John 3:16-17. My guess is many of you don't even have to look at this one. John, at least 3:16. If you've seen a football game, you may have seen it. John 3:16-17. Does anybody know how it starts without looking? Exactly. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And I don't want to stop there. I like how it continues. I mean, even beyond this. But the next verse is so meaningful too. For God did not send His Son into the world to what?
Judge.
To judge, to condemn. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. What gift does that mention?
Eternal life.
That's one of them. Actually, two, right? The first, well, I said my thing. The second is eternal life. Which, actually, if you think about it, brings us all the way back to where we started in Scripture, doesn't it? We lost eternal life. God, in my opinion, always intended for us to live forever, but we blew it, and we die. We lost that gift, the gift of eternal life, but now we can have it back. However, that's not even the greatest gift. It's not life or eternal life that's the greatest gift, because eternal life would be eternal hell if it weren't for the true greatest gift ever. Also mentioned in those verses and what you were actually originally alluding to. What's that? What's the greatest gift mentioned in those verses?
Jesus,
you got it. See, He knows. Anytime you ask a question, just say Jesus. Never go wrong, right? For God so loved the world that He gave what? His only Son. Gave, gift, right? Very literal, gave gift, son. And it's true that a result of that is eternal life. But as I've said, would you want to live forever, Neville, if Jesus wasn't there? No, there wouldn't be any point. There wouldn't be any point. It would be hell. And people can talk about what hell is and isn't. But one thing it definitely is separation from God, separation from Jesus. And regardless of what the state is, that is hell. Around 2,000 years ago, that gift was born in a manger. And in how many days again, kids? How many days till Christmas?
Two.
And in 2 days, we will remember the reason for the season. And more cruel than my hated Yankee swap is the fact that the world will try to convince every one of you. Kids, are you listening? I want you guys to pay attention to me. More cruel than the Yankee swap is that the world will try to convince you to trade the greatest gift ever for another lesser gift, or even worse, a curse. Throughout your entire life, you have Jesus, and the world will keep trying to tell you, wait, did you see that thing that Elisa opened up? That's actually better. It won't be Elisa, but I had to choose somebody's name. Did you see that gift that so-and-so brought up? And it won't be better, but they'll try to convince you. It's a con. If you are a Christian, you already have that greatest gift. No matter how neat, how exciting, or how valuable all the other gifts people have opened seem, Jesus is greater. What is the greatest Christmas gift?
Jesus.
Exactly. Augie spoiled it right from the beginning of the sermon. But you were right. It's Jesus, isn't it? What is the greatest gift, Christmas or otherwise? Can you say it with me? Wait. 1, 2, 3. Jesus. Merry Christmas, everybody. May you get great gifts in 2 days. But I would rather you get nothing if it means you will hold on to the greatest gift that you already have. Jesus.